Osiris.
RootslandNation.com. We're your culture.
Yes, gang. You know how that on past episodes of Rootsland, we've explored how reggae pioneers like Bob Marley, Peter Tosh, Bunny Wailer, Toots Hibbert had spent their lives singing about and advocating for the legalization of cannabis, or ganja, as they call it in Jamaica. And now, decades later, because of their sacrifices and the work of so many around the world who fought the politicians, the bureaucrats, and the pharmaceutical companies, the truth can no longer be denied. Modern science has caught up with the ancient wisdom of the Rastaman, as the natural healing properties of hemp and CBD are now universally recognized, which takes us to a small farm outside Burlington, Vermont, where there's a company named Sunset Lake CBD, run by farmers who also believe in the healing properties of hemp and CBD, which is derived from the plant. They believe that bringing affordable, high-quality CBD products and sun-grown, smokable hemp to ordinary people is worth investing in, worth fighting for, worth cutting through the endless political red tape, worth taking the time and effort to use the most sustainable farming techniques to produce clean, high-quality product without any herbicides or pesticides. So I believe it's worth you taking the time to visit sunsetlakecbd.com and see why I'm honored to have them as a sponsor for our show. And use our code ROOTSLAND at checkout to save 20%. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown, Sunset Lake CBD.
Because righteousness govern the world.
Broadcasting live and direct from the rolling red hills on the outskirts of Kingston, Jamaica. From a magical place at the intersection of words, sound, and power. The red light is on. Your dial is set. The frequency in tune to the Rootsland podcast. Stories that are music to your ears.
Yo, this jerk chicken is off the chain. I'm going to get another half. Good call, Harris. You and I are going to get along just fine. You want some more?
I'm good, belly full, enough respect.
Enrique, how about you?
No, Biggs, I'm good too. Why don't you take it back to the hotel? We got a big day tomorrow.
Big day tomorrow? Heck, we got a big night tonight. Harris was saying it's ladies' night at the asylum. You know what that means.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Harris. Biggie, you don't want a good night's rest? Come on, we're going to be in the studio.
Not until evening. Besides, nothing's going to get me a good mood to record more than watching some girls bubble up and whine. Right, Harris?
There's no girl like the Jamaican girl then. I'm the sweetest in the world, believe me.
All right, Harris, get him back early and in one piece, please. No injuries, no casualties. Thank you. It's our first night here.
Don't worry yourself. Everything is everything.
Nightclubs come and go. Musical styles change up. Hot singers and DJs, well, they cool down. But no matter how long I'm away from Kingston, there's always one constant. One thing that remains the same. Harris Borland. From the very first moment he showed up at our house at Armour Heights, invited by Brian, who had a hunch he'd be a good fit for our dysfunctional reggae bed and breakfast. Much more than a good fit, Harris became the glue that held the whole house together. A loyal soldier who never let me down, never left my side during all the trials and travails of that first decade in Kingston. There he stood once again at the ready, right by my side for my return to the battlefield. In the years since I'd been to Jamaica, Harris took a gig as head of security for the Village Cafe, a trendy nightclub and restaurant on the second floor of a shopping plaza in Ligony, one of Kingston's more desired areas. Centrally located between the University of West Indies Mona campus, the U.S. Embassy, and Sovereign Center, the island's newest shopping mall. During the day, Ligony is a bustling center of urban activity, with commuters, college students, and shoppers filling the plazas and backing up traffic onto Old Hope Road. At night, it becomes the exclusive domain for Kingston's elite and their fancy sports cars and pimped-out pickup trucks that overflow from the village parking lot and line the streets of the adjacent neighborhood. The only poor people around linger at traffic lights, hoping they could wash enough windshields to be able to buy a little food. The Village Cafe was owned and operated by Robert Collins, one of the many uptown youth that used to pass through and chill at the house at Armour Heights back in the day. Harris had long gained the trust of Robert, who viewed him as a friend and a confidant. But more importantly, Harris earned the respect and admiration from the patrons at Village Cafe, many who knew him personally or by reputation. Harris rarely had to resort to violence or even raising his voice to stop an argument or deter an altercation. Just one pissed off look from him, or screw face as it's known in Yard, that was enough to make anybody cease and desist from whatever activity they were about to engage in. I had to remember, this was Bigga's first time in Kingston. Too often I had personally seen what happens when foreign artists come down to Jamaica to record and work. They're subject to all kinds of bad influences, distractions, temptations. And between dealing with the musicians, the studio, and keeping the suits at the label happy, I didn't have time or energy to chase around an 18-year-old kid in a candy store. Then again, I didn't need time or energy. I just needed Harris. Fatta, stop it for a sec. Let me talk to Bigga. Can you hear me? Yo, big man, hold up. Sounds like you had a little too much vibes at the club last night, Bigga. What was it, Guinness or Red Stripe?
Just a little Henny. You know, I had to celebrate.
Okay. Oh, Henny, great. Celebrate what, Bigga?
Being in Yard.
We're here for 3 months. You gonna celebrate every night? Your voice sounds like crap. I guess Harris let you smoke cigarettes all night, right?
Man, I ain't found pon no man.
All right, I'll have to talk to him about that one.
Don't worry yourself, Henry K. My voice is just getting warmed up. Let me run through it a few more times.
Yeah, Bigga, all right, take your time. It's only $50 an hour, okay? Take your time.
Yo, Fata, bring it back from the top.
Fata, turn down the speakers, please. I'm getting a headache. Gussie Clark's Studio A at Anchor was given the nickname The Church, the way the giant mixing board stood front and center under a towering ceiling. It resembled an altar in a cathedral. Anchor became my second home in Jamaica. I recorded hundreds of songs there over the years. Sessions booked in 10-hour blocks, sometimes weeks at a time. Fata, who was working this session, was one of Gussie's tried-and-true engineers, along with Dr. Marshall, Garfield, Murphy Brown, Tixie, and Nigel, made up the core of the Anchor crew. They helped craft and formulate a sound that was not only instrumental in the success of my projects, but to scores of A-list producers over the years. As Fata tweaked and twisted the knobs on the board, balancing the music and getting the right EQ on Bigga's vocals, I impatiently swiveled around in the captain's chair, like a bored child. And after several rotations, I noticed a quiet youth sitting in the back corner of the studio. At first, I thought it was an apprentice engineer, or maybe one of the studio workers. But this kid looked a little too polished to be an engineer. No disrespect to the engineers. He looked like an artist. Actually, he looked like a star. His hair was long, but styled in elaborate braids. He had a smooth, neatly trimmed goatee and matching sideburns, and decked out in a green Kingston 13 basketball jersey, with a white t-shirt underneath. My first take was that he looked like someone whose opinion mattered. Yo, bro, what do you think of my artist?
I'm sounding white.
White?
Whitish.
Okay, not what I was expecting.
That's not a bad thing, you know? You know, Sean Paul, Shaggy. That had a new crossover sound where the record companies wanted to sell to the international audience.
Okay.
But?
Yeah, but what?
We're gonna need to sound more authentic, more Yard. You know, with the dance hall, it's all about the street creds.
Yes, exactly. That's why we're here. That's why we came down.
You win over Jamaica, you win over the world.
I told the record company that.
Oh, by the way, Henry, that youth is Curly Locks. He's a songwriter and a DJ, part of the Twin of Twins. You heard of them?
Twin of Twins? No, I haven't. What's up, Curly Locks? I'm Henry K. Nice to meet you. Writer and DJ, huh?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Well, he won't say it, but that's one of dancehall's best, you know? He writes for Bounty Killer and them big guys, them.
Oh, really? For Bounty Killer?
A whole heap of songs. Mostly Clash, you know? Buckle songs, you know? You know, like hip-hop, battle rap? Yeah, just like that.
Yo, Fatty, you mean we have a Grammy-nominated hardcore dancehall writer sitting here in the studio and you don't mention anything? Come on, what's up?
You know, I should have said something sooner.
Yo, Curly, mm-hmm. Would you mind stepping in the booth and tell Bigga what you just told me? You know, maybe give him a couple of pointers, mm-hmm. A little guidance in pronunciation. Yeah, stick around. We'll make sure you get a ride home. Later on, thanks.
Yeah, man, I'll stick around for a while. No problem.
Yo, Fatta, let me talk to Bigga. Big, this is Curly Locks.
Hey, Curly. Nice to meet you.
Yes, Bigga. Respect. Nice to meet you, you know?
He's gonna come into the booth there, give you a few tips. You know, pronunciation.
Heck yeah. Send him in.
All right, cool. There's a natural mystic blowing through the air. If you listen carefully now, you will hear. What was Bob Marley telling us? What did he know? That there are signs all around us, all the time, and all we need to do is pay attention, stop, look, listen, which of course, most of us are too busy to do. Just think about all the things we miss. But my sweet Jamaica, she always delivers. And in case you don't notice, has a subtle way of directing your attention towards the hidden treasures you may have missed. For example, there we were in our first recording session in Kingston for Mercury Records. I was delving into dancehall, a genre that I was behind years ago and never caught up. So just imagine how far I was now. I was counting on muscling my way through on the same musical instinct that got me there and hoping the engineers would let me know if I veer off course. When lo and behold, a gift was delivered to me right there in Studio A, the church, in the form of one Patrick Curly Locks Gaynor, Grammy-nominated songwriter and artist, who himself had been feeling frustrated, unsatisfied with his career and where it was headed. He knew he had what it takes to make it. He was a proven commodity. All he needed was a lucky break, a chance to show his worth to the right people. So hoping something, anything was happening at Anchor Music, Curly Locks decided to ride his bicycle to the studio. From his house on Ricketts Avenue in Kingston 13, the ghetto where he had grown up, the ghetto that he called home, the ghetto that he vowed one day to escape. You see, Curly Locks had spent the last 5 years working one of the most thankless, unheralded, and unrewarding jobs in music. Curly was a ghostwriter. And in case you're unfamiliar with that term, it means you anonymously write songs and lyrics for other artists and performers. Usually as you begin your career, often unpaid, you get none of the credit, none of the glory. It's just a way to earn your stripes as you climb up the ladder. And Curly Locks had done just that. Earned his stripes as a ghostwriter for dancehall royalty. Rodney Price, known as Bounty Killer, the five-star general, who alongside his arch-nemesis Beanie Man were the two top alpha male MCs locked in a mortal battle for claim to dancehall's throne. A rivalry as long and heated as the one between Biggie and Tupac. It had the entire island divided into two camps. You were either with Beanie or Bounty. When Bounty Killer needed lyrics for a clash, a response song, or to answer an attack directed at him by Beanie Man or one of his many rival DJs, Bounty had one preferred number on his speed dial. Patrick Curly Locks Gaynor, his lyrical assassin, the John Wick of MCs, an artist that worked in the shadows, meticulously constructing songs capable of murder in the dance hall. Able to slice and dismember an opponent, whether on record or on stage, in the most brutal and honest way. When the DJ you write for is nicknamed the Warlord, you have no choice but to be a sniper. And Curly Locks was responsible for many of the hits that helped Bounty Killer earn his name and elevate him to the iconic status where he still remains. This arrangement seemed to work fine for Bounty, who had an endless supply of top-shelf kill tunes at his fingertips. But it backed Curly into a corner in terms of his career options as a songwriter and a performer. You see, while the public and mainstream dancehall fans had no clue that Curly helped write some of Bounty's most memorable and potent battle songs, industry insiders and fellow Jamaican artists, they knew, especially the ones whose Curly's lyrics had decapitated over the years, which meant that he was alienated from a large portion of the industry. Bounty Killer's enemies became Curly Locks' enemies. Not to mention Bounty Killer, who should have been in his corner, was certainly in no rush to see Curly Locke succeed on his own, as a writer or performer, because that would mean the loss of the most powerful and effective weapon in Bounty's arsenal. So when Curly Locke showed up at the studio that night, and Tipsy the security guard told him that Henry Kay was working with a white dancehall artist, Curly hoped that this would be the night his luck would change, the break he'd been praying for. Inside Studio A, we were all searching for something.
Yo, you hear the difference?
Yeah, I do.
Yo, Curly Locks is the man. He needs to be here every night, every session, from now on.
He's a big help.
As a matter of fact,
big help, yeah.
Call Nigel right now. Let him know that this is the direction that we need to go in.
Okay, Bigga, calm down, calm down. Hold up. Let's see if Curly is available first. What his schedule is like.
Yo, and the lyrics is tight as...
Language?
I didn't say nothing. Do whatever it takes to make it happen.
Curly Locks mentioned he had a twin brother. But none of us were expecting an identical twin. And when I say identical, that next night when they showed up at the studio, neither me or Bigga could tell which one was Curly.
Yo, who was who? Yo, so which one's Curly?
That's Curly. No, that's Two Locks?
Two Locks?
I'm not sure.
Yo, respect. Nice to meet you, Bridget.
They had the same hairstyle, both dressed in matching Kingston 13 gear, right down to the hats and sneakers, which I'd later find out was their own fashion line. Clothing personally tailored by Paul Two Locks Gaynor, Curly's twin. A skill he learned out of necessity. Being poor and growing up in the ghetto meant at times the twins couldn't afford the mandatory school uniforms required for class. So Two Locks solved that problem, learning to design, cut, and sew material. He was soon able to make their uniforms from scratch. Each twin possessed their own unique set of skills that added to their mystique. Curly Locks initially started out as a solo act, has always been the writer and arranger. At some point, his marketing expertise kicked in, and he recognized the power of the twin image and brand. So he decided to bring his brother on board as the ultimate hype man and formed the duo Twin of Twins, an ambitious name, with a play on words referencing the biblical phrase King of Kings. The concept worked. When these twins walked into the studio, they looked like they were ready for their Vibe magazine cover shoot. All style, all image, all business.
Just another Sunday, get out of life of it. You think this hour, Miami Vice show them not. Rerun of Crockett and Tubbs them. We original bad man talks them. Lock down the streets and mash up the club. And then we take the mic and then we overthrow them. Flick bad mind on the side of the road them. Think them bad, but we just froze them. Step on toes and we throw them.
Yo, Bigga, hold up. Let me just tell you about rushing again. Steady, brother. Stay steady on the rhythm.
You think this hour, Miami Vice show them not. Rerun of Crockett and Tubbs them.
No, you're the behind the rhythm. Come on, bro. Keep up.
You gotta back down a bit, man. I'm getting frustrated. I'm on the beat. I'm behind the beat. I'm in front of the beat. I'm everywhere you're telling me to go. Yeah, what else do you want?
What do I want? I want you to stay upon the rhythm.
All right.
Look, I'm telling you how I stay. I either give something 150 or I don't give nothing at all.
Yo, Curly, stop watching me so tight, man. Just give me a minute, let me refresh, and I'll get it. You know I will. Yeah, but as a matter of fact, grab me a bottle of water, man. I'm kind of dehydrated.
It's not so hard. Relax, man. Take a deep breath.
One more time, from top.
Fata, play that again.
That first month, Curly Locks was relentless on Bigga, as both a vocal and life coach. Put him through some rigorous Rocky-like training. You know, the jogging, sit-ups, raw eggs. And when Bigga came out of the vocal booth after recording, he was 5 pounds lighter than when he went in. We joked around the studio if he lost any more weight, we'd have to change his name to Smaller. Curly wrote the material with Bigga, worked on his delivery, became a source of strength and encouragement, which was needed as Bigga grew increasingly frustrated with the demanding schedule, time away from his family, and the label in London's constant critique and overuse of the worst cliche in the music business. We don't hear a hit. Underneath it all, there seemed to be a larger issue going on with Bigga. And since he rarely let down his tough guy facade and continually put 120% into all his work, it was impossible to tell until it was almost too late. Bigga the Invincible was having some really serious health issues.
Yo, I could never live in a place named Hungry Town.
Bigga, You literally wouldn't fit in Hungry Town.
Yeah, yeah. Watch it. Y'all being down here really resonates, man, because it would be tough to live somewhere like here. This is really where the music ends from.
Like Bob said, who feels it knows it.
You think Turbulence gonna jump on the tune with us?
I'm sure he will. He knows Curly's writing skills. Hungry Town. The name says it all. A ghetto no different than any other in Kingston. Or the world, for that matter. Suffering from unemployment, poor housing conditions, a lack of basic services, like running water and electricity. It's a breeding ground for violence and criminal activity. Located in the Mannings Hill Road community, Hungry Town is often caught in the crossfire of a recurring bloody gang war between the neighboring Big Yard and Cassava Peace garrisons, a war that became so bad, eventually the Prime Minister had to intervene. Yet, despite the hardships, the neighborhood has a vibrant spirit, built on hope, resilience, and of course, dancehall music. These days, the tenements of Hungry Town have something else to celebrate. One of their own has been making a distinctive mark on the Jamaican music scene. The breakout dancehall talent, born Sheldon Campbell, known as Turbulence, the future. A name perfectly suited for the rising Rastafarian star. His energy, his vibe, his optimism. We thought he'd be the perfect artist to feature on Biggest Project. In fact, so much so, Curly Locks penned a song with him in mind. It was titled Gimme the Mic, and we ventured into Hungry Town to give him the demo.
What's up, NK? Blessing. Long time in my youth.
Hey, Turbulence. Yeah, it's been a while. How you doing? Long time. This is Bigga, the artist. Bigga star we were telling you about.
Yes, Bigga star. Respect me, Dan.
Well, go on, Turbo. Excited to meet you, man. Really hope you want to jump on this track, man. It's a blessing.
Yeah, we're going to leave you the demo. It's written by Curly Locks, so you know it's a scorcher, right?
Yeah, it's a family, man. Once you tell me, say Curly write the track, you know, everything's set. Just link me on the studio time, you know?
All right, when we book the time, we'll let you know. We'll see you there.
Go Turbo, a little more, brethren. Give thanks.
Rastafari love, you know? Bigger, NRK, one love.
I met Turbulence a few years earlier, when he was first starting out in the music business. On his first tour to the U.S. and Europe, he was signed to Philip Fattis Burrell's Exterminator label, one of dancehall's most successful and influential collectives. Owned and run by Fattis, a 6'6", 300-pound Rastafarian, known for his hot temper and violent outbursts. During a layover in Miami, on their way back to Kingston, I received a call from my friend, Garfield the Engineer, who was on tour with the Exterminator crew. He and one of the supporting artists were stuck in Miami Airport with a 6-hour delay. And while Fattis and the headliner Sizzler took a limo to the upscale Aventura Mall for some high-end shopping, Garfield and the tour opener, Turbulence, had to settle for getting schlepped around by me to Burlington Coat Factory at an outlet mall. On tour, there's always a pecking order. Needless to say, after meeting Turbulence, getting to know what a heartfelt and genuine youth he was, I kept an eye on his career. Loved and followed his music. Hoped if I ever returned to Kingston, I'd get a chance to work with him. And now came the chance. We turned onto Mannings Hill Road. The sun was setting in Kingston. The twins had the windows rolled down on their Ford Taurus. I closed my eyes and took a deep breath of that warm, sweet Jamaican air. And then turned around and took one last look at Hungry Town. Thought about the line from the Buju Banton song. Who can afford to run will run. But what about those who can't? They'll have to stay. Opportunity, a scarce, scarce commodity. In these times, I say, when Mama spends her last to send you to class, never you ever play.
Oh, just another Sunday, Sunday. Just another Sunday. In the heart of the ghetto. Just another Sunday, Sunday. Oh, just another Sunday.
What are you? What you think this hour? But you may show them. Remix up, clock it and tubs them. We original bad man thugs them. Lock no the street and mash up the club. And we take the mic and we overthrow them. Fling bad mind by the side of the road. Then kick them back, but we just throw them. Step back, hold them, throw them,
Give me the mic and make the rest of the team. Give me the mic and start the girls let the team. Lovely evening, the sun just set in.
Come and roll out with me black queen on. Give me the mic and make the rude boy come in on. Give me the mic and show the girls them running on. Girls are white, them a look so stunning. Party just got from set up to Selena.
Big up now, I agree with you. What? Take the girls and I free with you.
What?
Three for me and three with you.
What?
You have the stops and the cheese with you.
Hell yeah, turbulent way of yavin. Boys in me stash and well one grabbing. Dead for the boys in me chain and grabbing. Don't be fools, cause girls are me habit. Phone ring this call, me got the habit.
Big star, there's a party tonight, man. They asking for the rats and the white man.
Yeah, me morning, you just call the right man. Turbulent, plug in the mic, man.
Give me the mic, I make the rest of the peanut.
Nah.
Give me the mic, because the girls get Latina.
Nah.
Lovely evening, the sun just setting. So me roll out with me black queen.
Give me the mic, I make the rude boy coming on. Give me the mic, cause all the girls them running on. Girls are wine, them a look so stunning. Party, you're going from set up to Selena.
You never know Rasta roll this way. Me and my tongue spam patrol this way. Say the girls like find gold this way.
What?
And I know that the plan to get all this way.
Say the girls them arrest hard my mind. Big up Susie and the one Caroline. Love them shape and me love them design.
Give me the mic, I make the rest of the peen. Give me the mic, because the girl get Latina.
Powered by RootslandNation.com. Listen to back episodes of the podcast. Stream original music. Check out the latest fashions. RootslandNation.com. We're your culture.